This morning, we're going to talk about time. Time. It says in Ecclesiastes, it says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Now, I know I've brought this scripture up maybe a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to go at it from a different angle. And I'll be quite honest with you. Like I said, usually by Sunday night, Monday, I have a focus on what direction I feel God wants me to go. I heard nothing till Wednesday. So it's not going to be a longer one than normal, but it's meaty. You know, you're not getting just the milk of the word today. You're getting the meat of the word. So I don't know about you guys. I'm tattletaling on myself. But I am constantly, not that I'm always looking at my watch because I don't have a watch, but I'm constantly looking on my phone. It's 9:30. I'm always looking at the time. Why do I always look at the time? Well, I want to know, first off, what time is it? Or what time am I supposed to be there? Or how long is this going to take? How many of us, what other, give me some other reasons why you would look at your watch or your phone to see the time. Anybody?
Habit.
They love it. Very good, Veronica. Habit. Yeah, that's probably probably what mine is, too. Anybody else? Who said that? You said that?
I haven't looked yet in the sermon today.
Okay, well that's comforting. That's comforting. But I can see you're doing one of these. Okay. Thank you. No, she's probably, you know, working all day and she wants to, like, yeah, I get it. So anyway, we know that we cannot escape time. You know, and we really know that time is a gift from God. We all know that. But we can't escape it, right? So Solomon, he was talking about, that's, you know, it says in Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. This is what Solomon was talking about when he wrote this scripture. So, but the thing is about the scripture, I'm going to read it one more time. There's two words that really pop out at us. It says here, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. The two words that we're going to talk about today are season and time. Now, the Hebrew word for season actually refers to a fixed time. And what I mean by a fixed time is a definite time or a defined time, such as the beginning of the summer, the end of summer, the beginning of fall, the end of fall. So it's a section of time. So when we're talking about a season, that's what we're talking about. And that's the reason why it uses that word in Hebrew. Okay, so on the other hand, the word time in Hebrew actually refers to the beginning of time. The beginning of time. So, but the thing is this. Those two verses, or those two words, I should say, when they're put together, we see Solomon telling us that God has appointed everything that comes into our lives for a specific reason, for a specific time. Okay? So God knows just when to bring things into our lives, and God also knows how long to keep that thing in our lives. In other words, how long you're going to be on the mountaintop, how long you might be in the valley. Okay? He knows all of this. He knows it's not going to be, you know, an indefinite period of time. Everything has a time set with God. So, those things that we experience, they're not at random. They're not at random events. Like God's saying, oh, today I'm going to do this, I think. No, God has already got these things on the roster. Okay? That flows, those things that flow in and out of our lives. Rather, they are specific events. They're not like with the wind, okay? It's something that God is going to allow you to go through so that your faith will grow and you'll trust in him more, okay? So rather than there being specific events that God has chosen or allowed, so it's not like it's like, well, I think I'm going to do this for them today. No, he's already got this planned out. and they're timely. But the thing is, not only are they timely events or chosen or allowed events, but they are also have a purpose. They're purposeful. So this, of course, unfortunately, it includes the good times, but unfortunately, it includes the valleys as well. Many of these rough spots in our lives are good because it's through these things, these so-called bad times, that we learn one of life's most difficult lessons. How many of us probably remember a sad event or a bad event or a bad experience maybe more than you would maybe remember a good one? Okay? So we understand that through this, though, when we go through these things, we realize that we cannot, that we're not in charge of our lives. God is in charge. God is in charge of our lives. And when we put our faith and our trust in Christ Jesus, we come under that protective care. Isn't that comforting to know that when we have trust, like I said earlier, when we trust, that means we're having faith. If we have faith, then we're trusting. But the thing is, when we have those two things, then we are under God's protective care. So God is fully aware of everything that happens to us. And God is always paying attention. Always paying attention to the smallest of details in our lives. And is in complete control of the circumstances. So I have two examples. Yesterday I had a young man come to my house. He was mounting my TV on the wall. And his name is Ethan. Young kid. Sweet. We got to talking about God. And he's sharing some of his personal stuff, and he was saying that he was had some family issues going on, and he confronted the Lord, and he said, "Lord, should I try to patch this relationship up?" And he said, "Lord, if you want me to do it, if you want me to step out and do this, show me monarch butterflies. Show me two monarch butterflies today." Now, I don't believe in fleeces, which means, "Lord, if you do this, or if this happens, then this is what you want me to do." I do not believe in fleeces. I don't. But this is what he shared with me today. And the reason I share this with you is because even the finest little details of a prayer, God hears them. So this young man says, "If you want me to patch up this relationship, I will do it. But I only want to do it if it's what you want me to do at this time. Is it now or is it down the road that you want me to do it? Are you preparing that person's heart now for me to try to patch this up? Or am I ahead of myself?" is what I'm saying, okay? So he says, "Let me see two monarch butterflies." Before the day was out, that young man saw yesterday, day before yesterday, two monarch butterflies. So he knew. And he says, "I have to sit down and see how I want to word it and make sure that it's, and not point fingers, not do anything, just say, hey, let's just move on. Let's not dig up the other stuff. Let's just move on from here because I want a relationship with you." So even those little bitty prayers, yeah, the relationship's a big thing, but the monarch butterflies, that's a little thing for God. But it was specific. So Ethan, he was using his faith because he was specific, or he was specific because he had his faith. So we can, when we pray, when we use those beautiful words, those wonderful words of life, and we speak over ourselves or other people in our lives, we can take those words and they'll work. They'll work for us, just as we prayed for Kelly and for Jody and for everyone else that we've prayed for this morning. Those words work. He didn't put them out there to take up print on the page. He put them there so that we would use them and apply them, not just in our lives, but in others' lives. But the thing is, we have to mix our faith, our trust, with those words. So it's so important that we realize, yes, they're beautiful words. Yes, they're wonderful words. But we also need to take the faith that we have, that God freely gave us, and we need to apply it to them words. And then when we do that, God can do great and mighty things. So, anyway, there's a season for everything, as the scripture says, and we're not victims. We're not victims of fate. oh, this is what God wanted. This is, oh, this is the way it's got to be. Or, oh, it's just dumb luck that this happened to me. This is totally dumb luck. No. God, there's a time for growing. And sometimes, and I'll be the first to say it, sometimes I don't want to grow. I don't want to change. Who likes change? Not a lot of people. So sometimes you have to go through a valley in order for God to get your attention. Because when you're down in that pit, you know, we've talked about it before, you've got people that are on drugs or alcohol or, you know, whatever, porn, whatever it is, that's going to keep dragging them down further and further and further and further and further into that pit where there's no place to look but up. So let's go on to the next one. On time. On time. Now, I'm real good at coming here on Sunday mornings and being here by 8 o'clock. But Monday through Saturday is a whole different ballgame for Bonnie. I work a flower shop, and I'm up at between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, you think I'd have myself out the door by 10 o'clock, right? Well, you know how that is. You got to get gas, or, oh, I better clean this up before I go, or I wanted the dishes done. I don't want to come home and have the dishes sitting in the sink. You know, all these stupid stuff. And 9 times out of 10, probably 2 days out of the week, out of the 5 days I work, I'm late at least 10 to 15 minutes. But my boss, she's like, she'll get here when she gets here. She usually shows up eventually. So, but the point being is, you know, on time. You know, as a Christian, we should be on time. But, you know, she gets me, thank goodness. But the great thing is, people, God's always on time. God's always on time. Even though we say, where are you, God? You're running a little late on this one. Where are you? I don't see anything moving on my behalf. Where are you? Are you kind of running behind? You better check your watch or get your cell phone out because I think you're running a little behind. So as we read through Scripture in the Bible, we read about people becoming impatient with God's timing. For example, the Israelites, they waited and they waited and they waited for the promised Messiah. Some of them gave up. Now, I don't know, I can't remember what episode it is. Maybe Tib can help me with this. Did we watch the part where they get all the fish? They get all the fish in the boat?
Yes.
Okay. So here's they get all the fish. Jesus, you know, he tells Peter to go back out because they didn't catch anything all that night. Tells Peter to go back out one more time. Lay the net out one more time. So he goes out one more time. And there's so many fish in that net that they can't even bring the net in. And there's so many fish, it almost weighs down the boat and the water's coming in the boat because there's so many fish. Now, Peter needed to see this miracle because he had a lot going on in his life. And if he had not, he had a debt to pay, according to this particular part of the episode. But the thing is this. Here he is. He's just in awe of all this fish. I mean, he's just like, he just doesn't know what to think. He jumps out of the boat onto the beach, runs over, gets in front of Jesus, and literally drops to his knees. And he weeps, and he says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I gave up. I stopped believing. I'm sorry. Forgive me. We waited. This is what he said. We waited and we waited so long for you to come. So he was repenting and he was asking God to forgive him. At that moment, he realized that Jesus was the Son of God. At that moment, he realized he was standing in front of the Messiah. Sometimes we have to get where Peter was at and we have to get out of our boat. We have to get out of our timeline. We have to get out of our habits. We have to get on our knees before the Savior. And that's what Peter did. So here's a good example of that. Here's to a couple, Simeon and Anna, who daily went to the temple to pray that the Messiah would come. And because of their faithfulness, day after day, going to the temple, praying and believing and trusting God, every single day, they got rewarded. How did they get rewarded? In Luke chapter 2, It talks about how they got rewarded because they were in the temple praying, and who comes up at Mary and Joseph with baby Jesus to be dedicated? They get to see the Messiah first. I mean, from the public's point of view, they realize that, I don't know whether it even says in the Word, to be honest with you, does it even really say that they, I mean, they just realized it, that that's who it was. They just realized that he was the Messiah. Why? Because they were steadfast. They were steadfast, and they had a hope, they had a faith, they had a believing. So when they stood before the Messiah, they knew that they knew who they were looking at. So when we set time aside, when we set time aside to fellowship with God, to have that relationship with the Father, just as Simeon and Anna did, just as they did, we too can be rewarded. How are we getting rewarded? When we get that relationship going with God, when we have that relationship with Christ, we know, just like they did, we know that we know that we are saved, we are healed, we are delivered, we are set free. And that not only that, we are rewarded with eternal life. Amen? So let's go on and talk about the gift of time. The gift of time, it says in Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So I'm going to say that again. It says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So whatever you give is going to be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So here's an example, and I'm going to just read it because I don't want to lose the effect of the story. True story. It says, I headed into the post office in a big hurry. I had a number of things on my to-do list. But I entered, and I was frustrated. I found a long line from the counter all the way back to the door. I murmured, hurry up and wait. I'm going to be the first one to say every time I go to the doctor's office, or the dentist's office, or someplace like that, hurry up and wait, the driver's bureau, whatever. How many of us have said, yeah, well, that goes to figure, I'm here on time, 5 minutes early, and now hurry up and wait. So it says, the story goes on, he says, my hand was still on the door when an elderly stranger approached me. I can't get this copier to work, he said. Sounds like me, hi, Allison, this morning. He says, pointing to the machine behind us, it took my money, and I don't know what to do now. So immediately, the person who came in last, he says, I knew what God wanted me to do. I stepped out of the line and was able to fix the problem of the copier in 10 minutes. The man thanked me and he left. He says, you know, I turned around to get back in that line and the line was gone. I literally turned around and walked right up to the customer counter. There was no one else there. So, just like it says in Luke 6, give and it will be given back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured out upon your lap. For what measure that you use shall be measured back to you. Now, that doesn't mean that when I go to see Bridget, who I've never met before in my life, that I expect something in return. I get something in return when I walk out of that room. I'm just like, Lord, I'm so glad I went in there. So thankful that I get to meet this woman. I am so glad that I get this opportunity. And you know what? I think Bruce and Caroline feel that way when they pick up Glenn and they take him home and they spend time with him and they call him. I think all of us, to some degree, when we have someone that we're the shepherd over a little sheep, or, you know, someone that we want to reach out to, that when we walk away, we're more blessed than when we were able to bless them. Amen? So, by turning our eyes on others' needs, it helps us. Just as God gave us the need of a Savior, just as he gave us a need for a Savior, it's a lesson that we need to remember, because it took time and it took a piece of who God is that was brought to this earth to take our place, to die in our place. So it took time. So when we look at our watch, or we look at our cell phone to look at our time, maybe we should be reminded that God gave us that gift of time. So how many of us have pondered over the times that we have said, I don't have time right now. I can't do this right now. We look at our schedules, we look at our deadlines, and they seem to be dominating our lives. Now, I think about Caroline periodically, and I she's still able to do things, travel and do things like she does. And I know the kind of job that she has. And I don't know how she does it. It amazes me. Allison's the same way. She's got a busy job, too, and yet they still have their own business together, her and her husband, and she travels, and she does so much for her family, and it's just amazing. And we all, when it comes to, and you too, you go see your family, you all take that time to you stop the clock, and you take that time with each other. I love when Dave and Veronica, they go to the movies. I think that is so precious. So it says in Psalms 90, teaches us to number our days. So at the end of the day, can you lay in your bed and say, Lord, I'm so thankful I got to do this with this person today, or before you even put your feet off the floor, Lord, what are your plans for me today? What would you like me to do? And you can bet the Holy Spirit's going to bring somebody to pop into your head. You can bet on it. So be sensitive to that. Write yourself a little note. I need to call this person. I need to stop by and see this person. So Ephesians 5:15, Paul wrote, be very careful then how you live, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So here's, Paul and Moses are agreeing that our wise use of time isn't just a matter of watching our clocks. Comparing, let me not get ahead of myself. This situation may call for us to keep a tight schedule or a lighter schedule, or maybe it can compel us to give someone that extended gift of our time. I have a daughter who works full-time as a nurse, and she helps her kids so, so much, but yet she'll call me and say, Mom, is there something you need? The other day she had her daughter with her. She comes pulling up in her truck, and she brought me a decaf coffee. But the fact is, she was thinking about me. And just those little things, just those little bitty things. So we have to realize that compared to eternity, we have but a brief moment. If we were to compare the time that we are on this earth to eternity, it's a smidgen. So we have a brief moment to make a difference for Christ in this world, and we need to maximize those opportunities. And we can do it in small ways that mean a big thing, that are big things. This may mean ignoring our watches, our planners, for a while as we show Christ's patient love to others as the Lord brings people into our lives. And we may not realize it, but as we live, listen to this, as we live in the strength and grace of a timeless Christ or timeless God, think about that. As we live in the strength and the grace of a timeless Christ God, we are impacting our time in eternity. Think about that. That's pretty powerful stuff. So God takes his time.
Oh, wait a minute, Bonnie, I don't want to hear this one. I don't want to hear this one, because usually it's not the time I want. It's not my timing, it's his timing, and I don't like that sometimes. But this is the one I say for last, short and sweet. Here's an example of God's timing.
122 years to prepare Noah for the flood. And we're complaining of a couple of days or weeks, like I was complaining this morning to Cheryl about my piano taking 3 weeks to get to me, or my chair, Dave, for 6 months. 122 years for God to prepare Noah for the flood. Okay, here's another one. 88 years to prepare Moses for his work. And God, of course we all know, called young David to be king, but God also still had David return and take care of the sheep in the pasture, right? So it wasn't like right then. He knew about it, but it wasn't for a later date. Here's another one, which I did not know this, and I'm going to study it a little bit more. God called Paul to be an apostle and then isolated him. This will be a good one for you to look up, Tim. Isolated him in Arabia for 14 years. But I'm going to have to study that one out. I thought that was quite intriguing. So my question to you before we close this morning is, how long will God take with you? How long will God take with you? God's history is redeemed, not in minutes. God's history is not redeemed in minutes. It's redeemed in lifetimes. Lifetimes. You know, we find ourselves in situations where we fear that depression's never going to lift. Or we're so tired of the arguing and the yelling and the discontentment that we just want it to stop. Or the pain, the physical pain or emotional pain or the spiritual pain that never seems to leave us. Or that load, I'm tired of carrying that load for decades. I'm tired of it weighing me down. But as I said earlier, when we get to that point, we feel like we're in the furthest pit that we could ever be possibly in. And yet, when we're in that pit, again, we have no place to look but upward. No place to look but upward. And it's because of God's word, God's promise, those beautiful, those wonderful words of life that speak life, speak hope, speak encouragement, speak peace, speak of joy, all the good things of God in those words. With that, there's a song that it's called In His Time, and Jim handed it out, and I would like you to pull that up if you would. And tell me, is there any extra ones, you guys? Was there an extra one, Jim? Got an extra one for me? I'm going to sing it once. Thanks. You guys got one there, Cher? Okay. I'm going to sing it through once, but I want you to join with me. I threw this at Cheryl yesterday afternoon, and she didn't have the sheet music for it, so I'm going to do the best I can here. I hope we can hear this a little bit. Today, as we go through this season, this time in our life, this day, these next 24 hours, let's do just what this song says. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, the life to you I bring Let's promise that to him, the life that we bring to him. In each song that we sing, honor and praise him and worship him and be a loving thing. Because when we do it as unto God, it's not going to just reach God. It's going to reach the people that are around you, and it's going to make a difference in their lives. But remember, all of it is in his time. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, we come and we thank you, Father, for this time, all the time that we need to accomplish what you have and that all the things that you want us to do. So, Heavenly Father, all of the time I have is yours and in your hands. It is a gift from you. Please show us how to use this time that in many that it may bring honor and glory and honor unto you. In Jesus' name we pray.